carol singing his song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, tweet. Blow, Rockin' Robin, cause we really gonna rock up tonight. Every little swallow, every chickadee, every little bird in the tall oak tree, the wise or loud, the big black crow, flap of their wings, singing go, bird, go, Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, rock, rock, Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, go, Rockin' Robin, cause we're really gonna rock tonight.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. That theme music means our friends from Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center are here, and I am thrilled to say hello to Erica Jensen. How are you today?
Great, Mo. Thank you. It's good to be back.
Oh, Erica, how long have we known each other?
At this point, maybe about two, 3 years.
Isn't that crazy?
I know.
And you are such a success story because you were actually an intern at the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center, and now look at you.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm about a year and a half in full-time job.
Wonderful. Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
So we're talking in the month of August, mm-hmm. which the trees still haven't turned yet.
Some of them are starting to get there. A couple of our sumacs are getting a little yellow.
I don't like that. Or Yes. It feels like this summer has been unique, has it?
I feel like it really has. But I feel like every summer in its own way is a little unique. But especially looking at the last ones, I'd say this one has definitely been very wet, very humid, at least in the early parts. And
what does that do for our furry friends or not so furry friends at the nature center?
Yeah, well, it's been interesting because the river, the St. Croix River that we're kind of on, has been flooded most of the summer. And so a lot of the landscape down there by the river has been covered. So, I mean, for the kids, it means that they weren't able to go to the dock for most of the summer. But you also think about all the, you know, animals that may have been nesting in that habitat or animals that might have been, normally spending their time there. I mean, life finds a way. They'll find a way to adapt, but it just kind of means shifting patterns for them and shifting behaviors.
When you say where they nest, do they nest in the water or on the banks of the water?
Yeah, so some animals will nest on the banks. Some, you know, birds might nest in the kind of shore sandy areas, or insects or lizards or reptiles, mm-hmm. turtles, that kind of thing. Just any kind of life, really. It's amazing the things you don't think about. You know, you think of nests up in the trees,
right,
not necessarily on the ground.
Who likes muggy weather?
Who likes muggy weather? Not me, I'll tell you that much. a lot of times, reptiles and amphibian friends love that hot, muggy weather. Especially amphibians, they love it when it's humid, lots of moisture in the air. But reptiles, you know, who like amphibians, are cold-blooded and need that sun to keep warm and keep themselves warm.
So that's why you see them sunning on mm-hmm. on concrete sometimes.
Yeah, or they're having a great old time.
Why do I see my dog do that sometimes?
Because it feels good. I don't know. Okay. Sometimes I just want to lay down on some concrete, right, spread out, but that's generally frowned upon at the Nature Center when your naturalists do that. So,
so this time of year really is just exciting because it's an explosion of different colors, mm-hmm. and it just must be so great.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Like there's so much going on, and it's kind of that transition. We're starting to think about fall a little bit, but really summer has just gotten picked up and gotten going. So it's definitely an interesting time. And even though, you know, looking back, it seems like for some of the creatures, earlier this summer, we saw a lot of them, turtles in particular, crossing the road to lay their eggs. Around this time of year now, we're starting to see the turtle eggs hatching and heading back towards their river or pond habitats.
So why are they crossing a road?
Because a lot of times it's the turtle's natural instinct, the mother, to go up on shore, to go far up on shore, and find a good place, to nice sandy soil, bury those eggs, and then she goes back to the river. So even though they spend a lot of their time near on water, funny enough, turtles, their eggs hatch on land and pretty far up into land sometimes.
So you're actually seeing that?
Well, personally, the Nature Center, not at this time, but with the funny thing with turtles is it's not like with a lot of mammals where you know exactly how many months it takes for something to hatch or be born. Like for humans, it's 9 months roughly.
Right.
With birds, it's usually a matter of weeks. But with turtles, it really varies on how warm things are and the temperatures.
What?
Yeah, it's really crazy. It's a whole nother world. So there's no set date. So it's really generally any time now, I think in August, you'll probably start to see those turtles hatching.
We have no idea. Isn't it
there's usually a rough range. I think if you look on websites, it tells you 80 to 90 days. But it really does vary. And even in the same nest, sometimes you'll have an egg hatch and then it won't be till weeks later that the rest will hatch.
Oh, so I see what you're saying. So the turtles lay eggs under sand.
Yep. They'll use, they've got some claws. They'll burrow kind of a hole in the sand. They'll lay their eggs. Usually it's between 20 to 40 kind of small leathery eggs. Kind of looks like little ping pong balls.
Would we ever find them?
Yeah, possibly if you dig up a little bit. Sometimes they poke out of the ground.
Okay.
But generally they're buried at least
how
a
big
few
are
inches.
They?
About, depending on the size of the turtle, sometimes ping pong ball size.
Sure.
Some of the smaller turtles probably about the size of a quarter.
And are they round?
Yes, they are round.
So that's different.
Yep. And I always like to tell the kids that they feel like the sneakers that you wear.
Really?
Yeah, they're kind of rubbery. It's not so much a hard shell.
Okay. So that happens
generally, roughly now around August, you'll kind of start to see eggs hatching. Yeah, and it's really funny. And you'll probably start seeing little turtles kind of either going across the road or across the landscape.
How big are they? They're as big as the ping pong ball?
Generally speaking, yeah, about ping pong ball size or quarter size. Not very big at all. 90% of the turtle eggs that are laid get eaten by things like skunks or snakes, things like that.
Because they're there 80 to 90 days?
Yeah, so they're there. I mean, it's a food source, and if you're a hungry coyote or if you're a hungry skunk, you know, what's to stop you if you know it's there? So yeah, they kind of sit there. The eggs kind of sit there in the ground for 80 to 90 days. Really, depending on how warm it gets, determines how quickly the eggs hatch.
20 to 40. So let's say 3.5 dozen eggs.
Mm-hmm.
So they are buried in, and then is the heat of the sun that makes them?
Yep, it's the heat of the sun. And actually, funny enough, with snapping turtles, I don't think this is a thing with all turtles. With snapping turtles, depending on the average heat that the eggs are kept at, determines the gender of the turtle.
Turtles
coming out, yeah.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah, so if the temperatures are roughly around 68 degrees with the eggs in the turtle nest, then it's usually the females that are born. But if it's anything like 73 degrees and above, then it's the males that are born. And if it's anywhere between that range, like 68 to 73, it's a mix.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? I couldn't tell you any good scientific reason why that is.
Okay.
All I know is that's how it is.
Wow. So out of the 3.5 dozen eggs that are laid, how many will become full-grown turtles?
Probably just a handful. Probably a couple. Two to four. 2 to 6. They've got a long journey back to the water, if you think about it. If you think about how far the parents went, you know, went crossing roads, crossing neighborhoods, and you think about these little
turtles. Why do they go
turtles.
So far? Why can't they just come up from the water and lay their eggs and go back?
Because it's usually safer up further on land for them to lay their Yeah, funny enough, it's safer for them to go up on land to lay their eggs because if it's close to shore, then there's things like flooding that could wash the nests away.
Oh.
Or it's more likely to have creatures right by the water that'll be likely to eat those eggs.
So where are some of the craziest places you've found these eggs?
Oh, boy. Well, I don't know this is super crazy, but for any of you who have visited our nature center, you'll know that where our buildings are on the Minnesota site compared to the river, it's a couple of miles. It's very steep. I have seen a snapping turtle come up right to our buildings to lay eggs, and it's a far cry from the river. It's a far and it's steep,
and
there's no easy way to get up. So it's very, very steep. And this giant snapping turtle, I mean, she must have been about 20 inches her shell. And you know it's slow going for her. So she had to cross a big prairie and oak savanna to get there. So it's just amazing. Even in our apple orchard, we've had them come up all the way to the apple orchard.
And then the mom will go back.
Yes.
And then what?
Yep, and so the eggs will hatch, and then
What happens to the mom?
Oh, the mom will go back, and she'll hopefully make it back to the water. and she won't really see. I mean, it's not like with eagles or other animals where the parents will take care of the eggs. Once the eggs have hatched, the little baby turtles are pretty much on their own.
How do they figure it out?
That's part of the journey. Yeah, it's the tough part. A lot of times it's that natural instinct. They know that they need to go back to the water.
Do you think they smell it or something?
They've got to. Some kind of sensory thing. It's got to be the smelling, I think, because there's no way that with all the noise going on they could hear, and with the turtle eyes aren't the greatest, so they couldn't see.
So the snapper that you saw that was 20 inches across, how old was that?
Snapper. I would guess that she was at least 20 years old. In the wild, generally, yeah, snappers can get to be about 50, but there's no hard answer for saying, like, oh, they live this many years, because we just don't know. I mean, because how many times are we going to pick up a turtle and say, oh, I'm going to go ahead and band you or age you? So it's,
can't you count? There's something about their stomach, something on their stomach you count?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on that one.
Is that an old wives' tale?
I can neither confirm nor deny. So you can, next time you see a snapping turtle, you can do that and let me know how old you think it is, and it'll we'll see what happens then.
It's the rings that like a tree. Maybe I'm making that up. I don't even know.
I think I've heard something.
There's
like
something
that before.
About it.
Well, either the ones on their on
yes,
their stomach.
Yes, but like their spots or something. So getting back to the 20-year-old that laid the eggs, how long can she go on doing this? Every year?
Mm-hmm. Really? So turtles, snapping turtles, tend to be about 5 to 7 years old when they're able to start laying eggs. And I think, I mean, from then on, they pretty much can do it even up to their 50.
So who is their predator?
Their predator, so depending, well, once they get big enough, nothing really.
Oh, okay.
Humans tend to go after snapping turtles for food sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, there's a soup that's popular. I'm not a turtle fan eating meat. But foxes, when they're smaller, coyotes, even birds of prey like eagles sometimes can pick up a turtle, fly up in the air and drop it to crack the shell. Yeah, it's not pretty. So when they're adults, it's once they get bigger, it kind of dies down. But when they're smaller, usually predators like those eagles or those foxes and coyotes.
So it's really amazing that any of these little turtles make it back to the water.
Oh, it really is. They've got such a journey ahead of them. And
do you ever help them?
Yeah, I've done that before. Usually I try to point them in the right direction, and hopefully I do so. But just kind of picking them up and putting them at least on the other side of the road if all else fails.
Mm-hmm.
But with that one, generally too, sometimes people see these little turtles and they want to keep them as pets.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, I'm not really here to say whether or not that's right, but it's really hard, especially, you know, wild-born turtles, to get them a proper diet with all the, like, the vitamins and nutrients that they need to kind of replicate what they would be eating in the wild.
And what is that?
It's really a mix of meats and plant matter. So a lot of plant matter, like algae.
And meat?
Mm-hmm, and meat. At our nature center, we feed ours a, you know, mix of minnows and crickets and mice. I mean, snapping turtles have been known to eat smaller turtles too.
I suppose they're snapping turtles. Mm-hmm. So, and they catch mice. How can they catch them? They're so slow. Mice are so fast.
Well, actually, so it's funny you say that, because snapping turtles have incredibly fast. They can lunge incredibly quickly with their necks. It's so scary. I mean, even when I work with the turtle at the Nature Center for programs, I had to be careful to make sure that my hands are in the back, because if they're on the side, the snapping turtle could easily whip around and just nab the fingers.
How long is their neck?
Very long.
So it comes out of their shell.
Oh,
a long
for
ways.
Sure. I think it kind of looks like a dinosaur, personally. I mean, it's got such a long neck. It's like if you stick it out, it's able to go all the way around and get its like left and right side. So if you can picture in your head a turtle with its left and right sides, and how long that neck would have to be where it would be able to easily reach and grab something there. It's long compared to other turtle necks. Yeah.
So now would be the time to go to the Nature Center and snoop around for little baby turtles.
Yeah, and help along the way. And then you can visit our snapping turtle in our visitor center.
Okay.
He's got a deformed shell, so he's not really able to be back in the wild.
What happened?
We're not entirely sure. I think it's just being raised in captivity. You know, the turtle behavior is a little different than it would be in the wild.
Sure.
So he's looking up at the at the tank ceiling a lot of the times waiting for food.
Oh,
and
sure.
Turtles in the wild wouldn't do that. So I think the stretching up all the time kind of made it. It's kind of like a curved shell.
Oh, what else is going on? I know you have a big event coming up on the 24th of August.
Yeah, we do. So our Carpenter Art Festival, which takes place on our Hudson location, is going to be a great, great fun day. It's on August 24th, and it's from 10 in the morning to 5 in the afternoon. And it's just a walk-in as you please. Come and enjoy all these local artists that in some way, shape, or form incorporate nature, the outdoors, and their artworks. We've got a great, great array of artists, anywhere from those working with polymer clay to stained glass, watercolor, photography, loom, knitted arts, wood carvings.
What?
And even some food artisans. Yeah, it's a really great mix. And we've got musicians playing. We've got some critters from the Nature Center visiting. And it's a really great day, just a fun one to stop by. And it's free, so you don't even have to pay to get in. You can, visit some of the artists and look around, and then maybe afterwards hit the trails and walk around. The Nature Center and our Hudson location is mostly prairie, and it's just a gorgeous this time of year to walk around. There's the wildflowers blooming and the long grasses.
And there's
trails, absolutely. And those are mowed trails, so you really are able to just kind of get out and experience. Yeah.
I'm a trail person. I hate to say it.
No. And you know what? You wouldn't want to go off trail this one because you'd get a lot of ticks otherwise.
Yes, that's what frightens me. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be August 24th. It's a Saturday and it starts at 10. And it's always a great event. And it'll be fun for people to get out and see that campus. Where is it located if people don't know?
Yeah, so it's going to be at 300 East Cove Road in Hudson, Wisconsin.
Anything else you want to tell us before you go?
Yeah, absolutely. One last thing. We are looking for fall interns, especially education interns who might be interested in helping out and learning about our apple orchard classes. We have literally thousands of school children that come and visit our Nature Center in the fall to learn about our apple orchard. And so it's a fun time of year to have interns because they get to learn all about the orchard themselves. They get free apples and they get to work with kids and teach them about the orchard and about other cool things in nature. So, whether it's a full-time internship 40 hours a week or part-time 20 hours a week, we're very flexible, and it's just a great time of the year to get involved, and lots of cool events coming up to help with, like our Apple Festival or Raptor Release. So I encourage any young folks who maybe are either just out of high school or in college or just out of college who might be thinking that they want to get involved in the natural resources field or outdoor education to apply, and you can do that by visiting our website at carpenternaturecenter.org, and then I believe going to the Get Involved tab and interns.
Love it.
Thank you. Yeah.
Great to see you. Erica Jensen, Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center is open almost every day, right?
Just about 361 days.
Oh, brother. So do take advantage of all the great things that are going on. Thanks for coming in today. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7. KDWA in Hastings.